Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabot, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, coming to you from Nha Trang, Vietnam, under lockdown here. And in this episode, I want to relive some of my 2016 trip with you from south to north and include Nha Trang and a visit to the Cham Towers, something I talked about in the previous episode, as well as bringing you some updates, some news on travel throughout East Asia, Southeast Asia, and South Asia, and Asia Pacific. Hey, once again, thanks all for the shout-outs and the messages, and you know how you can contact me. I'll go over that at the end of the episode. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. A couple links in the show notes will take you to either my Patreon page, if you want to support the page and the broadcast with a monthly pledge. I'd really appreciate that. And one-time donations, of course, anything, everything is always much appreciated, and I'll leave a link for that as well. And of course, writing a review in the Apple Podcasts app or iTunes Store is always helpful in helping others discover the Far East Travels Podcast. A link, as always, in the show notes. Check it out. Make sure you're signed into your account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast. So I'm going to relive, actually I've got an edited version of a live stream that I did when I was here 5 years ago from the Cham Towers. And of course it relies on the visuals on location there for the broadcast. It's not a broadcast that's meant for audio only, but I think it'll at least give you kind of a feel for a different time when we were traveling and we could appreciate all these things. Of course, all of these places are currently closed, and we are on a lockdown here. I just got word, I think it was yesterday, the days are all running into each other now because, you know, you're inside mostly, you kind of lose track of time sometimes. But Da Nang is on a full lockdown again, so people are not allowed to go out unless they're just out for essentials. And in this lockdown as well, they said that you're not supposed to be cycling, like bicycling anywhere. So that's a new one. I've not heard that. I did hear on their big lockdown, on their COVID wave that they had last year, where they had 3 hospitals that were under lockdown. There was clusters in all of those hospitals. that they were actually chasing people off the streets, telling them to get home. And they had a 6-week lockdown at that time. So we're on a lockdown here, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the way people live here, the lifestyle here. And I'm sure most people that listen to this podcast that have traveled through Asia before, whether it's East Asia or Southeast Asia or South Asia for that matter, that you're familiar with the room sizes here, apartment sizes, hotel room sizes. And they're quite small compared with many sizes, regular sizes that you'll find in the West, whether you live in Sydney, Australia, or maybe even London or Seattle or Vancouver or Toronto. You know, the apartment sizes here are much smaller. And I wanted to bring this to people's attention again, or at least remind you of the struggles, the frustrations, the angst that people would have going through a lockdown like this. So let's start out with where I am right now. So I am in a very small place, even for me. I'm in an apartment sort of hotel combination. And I really was just in a hurry to grab something, and I needed a place that I could, you know, get to. It was open. It was sufficient. It had a place where I could do a little cooking if I needed to. I didn't know how long I was going to be here. Anyways, cut to the chase, 20 square meters, which is about 215 square feet. So that's a really small place. My very first apartment as a single guy, I mean, my own apartment before this place that I'm going to tell you about, I did have a roommate and we shared a 2-bedroom place. But this place I had on my own in the West End of Vancouver was 450 square feet. It was a studio apartment. And this place is less than half that size. And I felt at that time that that place was small. Had a nice view of Stanley Park. If you're familiar with Vancouver, you know what I mean. Really nice little place. And, you know, this place is literally half that size. And, it wouldn't matter if I was here for a few days. It would be good enough. And I really didn't know when I got here how long I would be here. Oh, I think I'm going to be here a little bit longer, so I might ask to see something maybe a little bit bigger in this building. I'm not sure if I want to move just because of it's a little more challenging right now. You have to find a private car. Some places are wanting you to do a COVID test in order to move to their place if you're doing a move. So all of those things kind of make me a little bit nervous about trying to do anything different. I'm just kind of working with what I've got right now. So in normal times, if you were traveling on your own, this would probably be a big enough space for you because you'd be out sightseeing. Southeast Asia, as you know, if you've done any kind of traveling here, it's an outdoor culture and lifestyle. Everything is built around being outside. You entertain outside. Often people will entertain, and this doesn't just go for Southeast Asia. Same thing in East Asia. People will entertain their friends. They'll meet at a cafe or at a restaurant or something like that. They don't always invite people over. Some, I would say nobody does, but certainly it's more customary to go out and entertain out, especially if you're in a place like Hong Kong. And so in normal times, it's not an issue for most people to live in smaller places because you're spending more time outside. It's a wonderful outdoor culture. It's one of the joys of traveling and living in this part of the world. It has been for me for forever, since the beginning, to be able to go out in the evening. There's lots of people around. It's always vibrant and exciting, and there's lots of places open late, cafes or restaurants, places you can get a quick bite to eat. You can just have a beer. Nobody is going to be bothering you if you're just sitting somewhere drinking cheap beers. They're going to welcome you. It's just that wonderful open air welcome feeling that you get everywhere here, and lots of energy. And that's what makes being here so exciting. Now take all that away and put somebody in a little place, and you can imagine, and not let them out, you can imagine how that feels. And you know, I mean, the last place I had in Vancouver, my hometown, was 1100 square feet. It was a loft, beautiful place, 16-foot ceiling. So I always felt lots of space, and I would never feel claustrophobic in that place, although there were times where I felt like I needed to get outside because I was in my place too long. But in these smaller places, it's very challenging. And you also have to understand that a lot of local people here not only live in a small place, they live in a place maybe that doesn't have windows, because a lot of these buildings the tube-style buildings, like the tall and narrow buildings, might have only two or three rooms on each floor. Now, if they have three rooms on each floor, one is going to be facing one way with the window, one's going to be on the backside with the window, and then there's going to be this room in the middle, and it's not going to have any windows. And a lot of people live in places like that. They're inexpensive, and a lot of people even live in places like that, and they don't even have their own bathroom. They might have a shared bathroom that they have to use, or shared kitchen facilities that they have to use as well. So you can imagine what it's like for people to be going through these lockdowns for extended periods of time, not being able to go outside, or only going outside just to grab some food or medicine or, you know, some kind of necessity or something like that. It's very, very challenging right now. So you will see people that are sitting, maybe sometimes if they have a place they're staying in, like a tube style apartment or something, and there's a bottom floor and maybe they can sit there. There's an area where they're allowed to sit, and at least they have a little bit of space there. Very challenging times here. So I want to talk a little bit about some news as far as travel goes and things opening up. So it was announced this week that Phu Quoc Island in Vietnam has been approved for opening to international tourists starting in October. So this has been something that's been talked about since last year, because it really makes sense to use an island as a place to open up, because you can, you know, keep people isolated. They won't be in the general population, and it's a lot easier to contact trace on a place like that. And now with vaccines, it's very easy to get a small population up to herd immunity. There's only a population of 200,000 on Phu Quoc Island, so it'll be very easy to get people vaccinated there, up to 70% of the population vaccinated, similar to what they've done in Phuket in Thailand and Samui. This is a similar model, and I think everybody's been watching these islands in Thailand and how they progress. Because Bali is another place that, of course, they're looking at opening up soon as well. That's been delayed. But Phu Quoc will open, for now at least, scheduled in October. And it's going to be a six-month pilot program. And I'm sure they're going to be testing a lot of things so that they'll be ready to open up other provinces or other places and eventually all of Vietnam. So the first 3 months is going to be chartered flights only. And so I can only assume that those are going to be package tours. It's probably going to be hotel, flight, maybe some sightseeing, transfers, things like that. Those will most likely be based out of Singapore, probably Hong Kong, and maybe China, maybe Taipei as well. That's what I would assume that this market is going to be geared towards, Asian travelers. Because, you know, it's an island vacation. They're probably not going to get a lot of people coming from overseas to do a short vacation. It's going to be limited. You probably won't have more than a few days on the island, maybe 2 weeks tops, because most people can fly most countries. Vietnam allows most citizens from countries, many countries, to fly to Phu Quoc Island without needing a visa. You can go visa free. But the stay is short. It's only 15 days, and you will not be allowed to extend it. And I don't believe this program will include having people or letting people, allowing people to go into the general population after, because you would be coming in not on a visa. You would be coming in visa exempt, and you'd have to leave and come back. Or I suppose if they did have international tourism open on the mainland, you'd still have to get your visa when you arrived on the mainland in Vietnam. But I don't believe that this is going to be part of this opening program. But if you're dying to get back to Vietnam or just get away from your country and you're in Asia, well, this is a good option that will be open hopefully by October. And there's other pilot reopenings that are or have been proposed in this province that I'm in right now. Quang Hoa province and Quan Am provinces both have proposals in to open up, and typically they're kind of resort stays. And in my last episode, I talked about some of the resorts here, the lavish villa resorts here. And there's other resorts here that are more isolated and would be easy for people to visit and not have to worry about, at least the people here, not have to worry about getting people into the general population where they could spread the virus. But these will be programs for people that are fully vaccinated. And then also, which was announced today, which is July 23rd, Friday, July 23rd, New Zealand, Australia quarantine-free travel bubble has been officially suspended for 8 weeks. The New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced this on Friday, July 23rd. And the Prime Minister also encouraged New Zealand citizens and residents of New Zealand to return within a week to New Zealand to avoid a long-term stay in Australia. So that is the news there. And then I had mentioned Canada reopening up to Americans and then eventually September 9th to international tourists if they're fully vaccinated. Since that announcement, right after that announcement, the U.S. announced that non-essential travel by Americans across the border would remain closed until August 21st. So even though Canada's opened up, the U.S. will not open up its border to allow Americans to cross into Canada until August 21st. But I believe that still applies to air travel. So I want to share with you just a little edited clip that I put together from a live stream that I did here 5 years ago from the Cham Towers. This is one of the highlights of visiting Nha Trang. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of these sites that are spread throughout Vietnam. But this is me, 2016. From the Cham Towers in Nha Trang. And I'm here at the Cham Towers. These are the Cham Towers. This is Nha Trang. I'm still in Nha Trang. I'm going to show you. There's some fantastic views here. I want to show you lots of really cool things around this site. This is a Hindu site. Yes. Everybody, check out these views. This is still a very much a fishing port here, a fishing village. You can see all the fish boats are in. And isn't this a fantastic view? This is I'm high on this hill here at the Cham Towers, which is one of the most important sites around this part of Vietnam, kind of South Coast Vietnam, still considered South Coast. So the Nha Trang beach is out this way. And these are some ancient Hindu towers. Yes, Hinduism was practiced in Vietnam, believe it or not. Well, as it was in Cambodia. You know, Angkor Wat is a Hindu site. It's a Hindu temple site. But Buddhists use this site now as well. This is a Hindu site, but Buddhists come to worship here. It's still an active holy site, by the way. Look at it. It's so gorgeous. This does truly remind me of Angkor Wat in many ways. And, of course, Hindu temples in India. And there's four towers. I believe there's eight towers here at one time, but through the years, through destruction and other things. About 800 AD, I believe. Very, very old. Very, very old. I mean, that's as old as Angkor Wat. And the actual site itself is older, but these buildings are about 800 AD, I believe. And they've gone through repair and things like that as well. This is, of course, the main tower. There's still a temple inside here and inside here as well that people can go worship. You have to be dressed appropriately, of course. No short sleeves, no shorts, no bikinis. Well, this isn't the oldest religious site, but Hinduism is basically the oldest religion in the world. I'll swing around and show you some of the front. What's really cool to see some of these
beautiful designs in Vietnam. You know, traditionally you wouldn't see this. There are Hindus in Vietnam, but of course it's a very, very small population. But Buddhists come to worship here as well. And it's a very big tourist attraction, as you can see. So there's lots of big tourist groups that come here. It's probably the top site in Nha Trang as far as a historical site to see. So this is what just blows my mind, to see stuff like this in a place like Vietnam, where traditionally you don't see these types of sites here. They're not as prevalent as other places, especially even in Southeast Asia. Oops, sorry. And you see everybody here has these special robes on, and that's because they probably came in shorts and on inappropriate clothing, but they have the robes here that you can put on if you actually want to go inside. Well, there's a Shiva, there's a Linga statue, and now those are inside, I believe. I don't think the Shiva, Nandi, the bull, which is an incarnation of Shiva, is here. Somewhere, but I believe they're inside, and I can't go inside with this. Buddha was born in Lumbini, Nepal. The Buddha was born in Nepal. These temples, you see them as you drive up, and they're just so striking, and especially this time of the day, it's 10 to 4, and the light just hits them just in a beautiful way. Yes, yes, yes. Some people are under the impression that the Buddha was born in India, but no, he did his teachings in India, and the most significant parts of his life took place in India, but with the exception of where he was born, and he was born in Nepal. And of course, Hinduism is practiced still in Vietnam, although probably not as widely practiced or followed as in other Southeast Asian countries. Typically in places like Laos, especially in Cambodia, many boys will become monks for part of their life. Yes, I think so. I think they're all actually inside. I don't see, this is my first time to this site, so I don't see the Nandi around, but I know there is a Nandi here as well. Those are the only statues that I know of, my friend. Those are the only statues that I know of. There probably were a lot more at one time, but there was 8 towers here, so there's not as many things here as there once was. And it was ransacked, I think, by the Khmer at one point in the mid, between 1200 and 1500, somewhere around there. I think the Khmer came in and ransacked the place as well, so they may have took things when they came here. So there might have been more. But I also want to show you this beautiful surrounding here as well. But this is Nha Trang. So I've shown you the beach. If you missed beach scopes, you can watch those. I was up at sunrise again this morning at 5. I have to tell you, the sunrise the day before I thought was a little more striking than today. And it's always just based on the cloud cover environment and things like that, atmospheric conditions. But I did want to share this with you because I just thought this is such a striking sight. Just a beautiful time of day. It's almost 4 p.m. here in Nha Trang, Vietnam. I've been to Mount Everest twice, but I haven't been on top of Mount Everest. I haven't climbed Mount Everest. I don't have any intentions to climb it, but I've been to the base camp in Nepal and the base camp in Tibet. So I've been to the south camp and the north camp of Mount Everest. And then I've seen Mount Everest. I've seen the sunrise over Mount Everest 3 days in a row from India, on a trail called Darjeeling, and it's called the Singalila Ridge, and you hike on the border of Nepal and India. Mount Everest is on the border of Nepal and China. I don't have any intentions to go to the summit. It's very dangerous to go to the summit, but I've taken mountaineering courses before, and I've done some mountaineering, but I'm not a mountaineer, and I don't have the time nor the desire to invest the time into doing something like that, although I think it's absolutely admirable for people to do. On this trip, heading south to north, I'm doing planes, trains, and automobiles. So I've taken a bus, and I've flown, and I'll be taking the train tomorrow.
So that basically was a live stream with people asking me questions. So it might be hard to get a little bit more out of it than you would if you were actually watching the live stream, obviously. And I'm actually going to post some pictures of the Cham Towers that you can refer to. So if you go to the Far East Travels podcast page after you listen to this on Facebook, I will post a picture up there. And then for my Patreon supporters, I'm going to post some extra pictures on the Patreon page that will be available just to patrons. So I will have those up for you so at least you can see what these things look like. They're absolutely amazing. And they're not the only Hindu ruins in Vietnam. There are other places that you can see if you're interested in seeing this type of thing when you visit Vietnam. And I also find, because I have a lot of listeners from India and followers from South Asia that are Hindu, really appreciate going to these sites and worshiping and praying at them. It's a very auspicious thing, I think, that people find to do when they visit a place like Vietnam. So I will list these for you so that you can make a note when you come here, you can visit these places. And of course, they're stunning. So if you are a photographer or if you just want to have some wonderful pictures with a gorgeous backdrop of some of these ancient temples for your Instagram feed, then you would appreciate these places as well. But I haven't been to most of these, but there is one in Hanoi or the Hanoi area called the My Son Ruins, and they were built between the 4th and 14th century. Unfortunately, much of them were destroyed by bombing during the Vietnam War, but the ruins are still there, and they would be really interesting to see. Phan Thiet has the Po Chi Nu Cham Towers in Munay, and they are similar to the ones here. So, and they are of the obviously of the Champa or Cham people, and those towers are built in honor of Lord Shiva, like these ones. And those are some of the oldest in Vietnam. And then Quy Nhon has the Tat Doi Twin Towers, and again, dedicated to Lord Shiva. And in Thuy Hoa, in Phuyen province, they have the Nan Tower there. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. You can stay connected with me either on Instagram. John Sabo's Far East Travels is my account on Instagram, my main account. So you can follow me there. I pretty much do a story every day. I've been posting some pictures of the last time I was in Nha Trang 5 years ago that you might find interesting, some before and after pictures. And also, don't forget, you can also follow me on Facebook. There's a few different pages. There's the Far East Travels podcast page to follow, the Far East Travels page, and the John Sabo official Facebook page as well. And don't forget YouTube, John Sabo on YouTube. Thanks so much. Love to hear from you. And again, please be safe. And when we all start traveling again, of course, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.